Oh yeah, welcome folks to TTJ Talk, presented by the tech juggernaut at TTJTech.net. Let's get it going for another episode, folks. Welcome. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of TTJ Talk right here. Hey, we got lots in store for you, and we need to get right into it. This is a big episode in some respects, at least in the amount of content that we have. I got a new toy on order. It's going to be coming very soon. We'll talk all about that and do kind of a pre-unboxing review, and then we'll cover it once we do set it up as well. And so we're going to get to that in just a minute, but before we do that, you better grab that coffee and those coffee cakes, because we do have, and boy do we have, some news for you today. So let's get to it here on TTJ Talk. Great to be back with you folks, and boy, have we got some news to talk about. Let's begin with something that directly relates to all this cord-cutting stuff we've been talking about. Sony has announced that PlayStation View will be no more. As of January 30th, 2020, the service is being shuttered. It is being shut down completely. Pretty soon, PS View will not even accept any new subscribers to the service. Now, none of the other PlayStation features, of course, are going away. All of those will remain intact. But PS View, the live TV streaming service, is no more. So this is major breaking news. We're going to talk a little about that, and we're going to discuss that right now. You know, there have been some folks that who have kind of said that this has been a long time coming. I mean, we heard a few reports earlier this year, and even some last year, and even some from investors that said that that was the best thing that could happen. I don't get it. They had a far fewer subscribers than some of their competition. I always thought they were one of the solid ones, not from an accessibility standpoint, mind you. They had a lot of work to do with VoiceOver, especially on iOS and iPadOS, but even on Apple TV, it was not the greatest. I've mentioned before that Philo has room to improve its accessibility on iOS and iPadOS, and they do, and they've indicated that they will. But their tvOS release is solid with VoiceOver, and that was really not exactly the case with VoiceOver on any platform with PS View. They did have very nice Apple TV integration, app integration. They did, you know, do a lot of things right, in my opinion. Not the least of which was the unlimited DVR with 28 days, you know, profiles. They even had kind of a picture-in-picture. You could watch a sports game while watching other things. I think they called it multi-view. PS View had a significant amount of on-demand content, though it was a bit obscure and hard to access on the mobile platforms. They had some weird in-home and out-of-home requirements, which the understanding has always been that that's been due to their licensing agreements. What I don't understand is not all of the other folks in town, even the ones that offer locals, not all of them have had such tricky agreements, but they did have the biggest number of devices for simultaneous stream support, up to 5 at one time in the home, 3 out of home, and various combinations of this. So, you know, it was a solid offering. There were some channels that I wish it would have had that it didn't, and they did raise their prices a couple times, but, you know, I can accept price increases modestly as times change, you know, to reflect what's going on. I get it. I was shocked to see this. I thought they could pull themselves along, keep themselves going. Maybe they lost interest in trying. I don't know. I don't want to make that speculation because I don't know the folks at PSVU. And that's not a criticism anyhow. It's just maybe they did. I don't know. What I can tell you is that, they are shutting down, and that is a done deal. They did not find any interested buyers. There are some speculations that other people have as to why they were not successful. Some say they didn't do enough to advertise, to promote, to differentiate that PSVU from PlayStation. I feel there were still a lot of people who felt you had to have a PlayStation console to use PSVU, which of course was not the case. And there were indeed some hoops. It wasn't the most seamless process to use their website, even for sighted users, to find out what local channels you could get and then to sign up. It just wasn't. There were some weird things along the way, and even the way of signing in your app was a bit convoluted. So, another thing, they didn't have a dedicated site per se. It was all kind of embedded into the PlayStation. Even their Twitter feed was part of the Sony Entertainment. It just was not very well differentiated, perhaps. A lot of people also were really shaken up when PSVU suddenly stopped carrying Viacom channels and then announced that they felt that was the best move to continue to offer the most competitive service, the channels people want. A lot of people who left PSVU over that, and a lot more who refused to join over that. Now, later on, it became possible, praise God, to do something like PSVU and Philo, so you could have your Viacoms and still have a purpose and a place in your home for PSVU. We did it for a while, till we discovered that we really only needed Philo, as well as some other on-demand stuff and Apple TV channels. But we did, and there was room for that. But again, a lot of people just felt that was a real slap in the face to the loyal customers. And it wasn't the only time that PSVU sort of dropped channels without much warning. Only in recent months have they started putting up a page that indicates these are potentially up for negotiation. And I'm not sure that was any better, to be honest with you. Because what it, I think, got a lot of people doing probably is what it got me doing was, thinking about it. Now I'm concerned about it. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of it. The folks at Cord Cutters News have said for a while that they believe, or maybe they were quoting someone else who said they believe, I don't remember, I apologize, that the streaming market right now is a bit flooded and that it will kind of work itself out over time and the strong will survive. Maybe that's what's happening here. I don't know. I don't know if I share that opinion. I don't know if I have enough knowledge to share that opinion or to have an opinion on that subject. But either way, it has happened. It is happening. And maybe it's the same thing that's happening with AT&T TV Now. In other news, AT&T TV Now has officially now been announced as soon to be merging with HBO Max in at least 2021. So they'll offer some form of live TV as part of HBO Max and do away with AT&T TV Now as we know it. But they do have their AT&T TV service. I did a little bit of a discussion of AT&T TV before. I don't give it very high marks in my opinion. Look, I don't like to pick on anybody, and I don't like to say anything that is not uplifting. I don't like to criticize anybody. Look, I'm not there. I'm not behind the scenes with you. I don't know why you do what you do. All that I know is that it's two things. One, AT&T TV requires a box, at least one. Now, yes, you can still use AT&T TV on your Apple TV. Yes, you still don't need a dish or, those types of things. It is internet-based streaming. But the fact that it requires a box, while AT&T's statement is that this is a way of them being able to more quickly offer more robust features to their customers, I don't understand it. I don't know what they're going to be able to do with that, and maybe they'll wow us. But the other thing is, their price point is extremely high. The price point is no less than their all-inclusive packages. It's basically a mirror of their all-inclusive, I think they're called, or all-included, or something like that, DirecTV satellite packages. The thought process is, since you are not sending out technicians and having to maintain satellites and so forth, you should be able to charge less for these internet-based packages. That's what the competition's doing, but for some reason, it's not what AT&T TV is doing. And let's look at the numbers. AT&T has lost tons of subscribers, whereas others have gained. But that even seems to be okay with the current executives at AT&T, who have said they believe that needs to happen. They want to weed out the customers who are not willing to pay, say, for example, $100 a month, things of that nature. It's a strange business model in my mind, but then again, I'm not on AT&T's executive team, or any company's executive team for that matter, except for TTJ right here, and praise God that's doing fine, but, you know, maybe if it were a Fortune 500 company, I would think differently. And that's no, there's no sarcasm in that, folks. That was not meant to be snide or quippy. I'm being serious. I'm genuinely admitting to you that I don't know, and maybe there are valid reasons that I don't know that AT&T is doing what it's doing. All I know is I've not heard anything that has made me have a light bulb moment and go, oh, okay, that's why it's happening. No, I'm still asking the same questions I've always been asking for a while now, since AT&T has started making some of these moves, and HBO Max has been announced. And here's the second point with HBO Max. HBO Max has been announced. It looks very compelling. It looks pretty amazing. It looks like it will have all the HBO content, every show and movie on HBO, plus a bunch of Warner Media content from TBS, TNT, and more. It looks as though it'll even have some CNN content, if I'm not mistaken. They are going to have every episode of Friends, Big Bang Theory, and others. I'm hoping for King of Queens to come on there. I don't know. They haven't said it, at least that I heard. It's supposed to have all kinds of great features. You know, this is supposed to be their big streaming service. They're putting all their money behind this. They're putting all their weight behind this. They believe in this. And their business model going forward is supposed to be HBO Max and AT&T TV. Here's the problem. And Luke Bauma from Cord Cutters News said it best, and he echoed what I was thinking. They have some trust to gain back from a lot of consumers. The marketing strategies, the wording that they're using, I'm not saying they're lying to us. I'm not saying any of that, okay? All I'm saying is the marketing tactics, the wording that they're using, the verbiage we hear is not entirely unlike what we heard in November, December of 2015 when DirecTV Now was first introduced. This was going to be the next big thing. They fought for packages of channels, saying that skinny bundles were a problem because your skinny bundle might not be my skinny bundle. And so they promoted packages like Go Big. They fought vehemently to promote the service as the next big thing in television, that this was going to change the way people watched TV. This was going to be the service that everyone would want to have and would love. And putting aside a few growing pains, buffering issues, and other error messages that seemed to plague them early on, they really did have that. They really did pull that off. Maybe it was the technical difficulties they had at the beginning that really did signal the start of the end, because maybe too many people already got discouraged with it during that time. But the reality of it is AT&T pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, and by late 2016, early 2017, had a fantastic and very compelling service, which pretty much always worked, which had more channels than any other, had great support, and it continued improving with 2.0, with the new DVR, with all of the new features that they had, pretty soon Apple TV app integration even, and a whole bunch of TV Everywhere support. Then it happened. We all remember the day that the pricing structure changed, and not just a little bit. Again, I can understand price increases, but these were drastic, making them one of the slimmest offerings in the streaming game. $50 a month for their some 40-some channels in the DirecTV Now Plus package, and the Max package with HBO and Cinemax both included, but really with only a few more channels, for $70 a month. This did not sit well with a lot of people. Of course, they announced that you could still get these other packages, but now they were going to be the high-priced mirror of the DirecTV all-included packages again, starting at $93 and up. And those folks who had already had the older packages could be grandfathered in, but of course their cost would again be going up, this time by $10 a month. There were promotions and attempts to keep people by offering 3 and 6 months of discounts, but it just felt, the whole thing just really felt forced at this point. And when negotiation after negotiation, almost blackout after almost blackout kept happening, many people continued to turn away. Now we're seeing additional increases in price. We are seeing AT&T TV Now, the TV Now, the Plus and Max packages, their prices being raised yet again. Is it by $10 or by $5? Either way, it's one of the slimmest offerings for the price when services like Hulu with Live TV and Sling and a few others have much more compelling offers. And when services like Philo have really compelling offers for just $20 a month, 58 channels. And as if that were not enough, then the question remains as to what is AT&T even doing in the future with AT&T TV Now? Only recently we've learned that HBO Max will be the new way to stream live TV. Maybe it will be better, maybe it won't. But here's the problem. I understand technology changes almost constantly. I've said that before. But to completely dissolve a service and its what appear to be even its core benefits within a matter of really less than 4 years seems to me to be hard to justify. Will HBO Max be the answer to all this? Will they be able to use HBO Max to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and to increase their subscriber numbers while offering value and great content at great prices? Or will we see this scene repeated in a few short years? More importantly for some, if you want me to move to HBO Max using the argument that it's the same price as HBO Now with lots more content, am I safe to assume that its price will stay relatively unchanged for a reasonable amount of time? Again, I understand price increases, but we are talking about major price hikes with AT&T TV Now, to the point that it is no less expensive to get their streaming services than it is to get their satellite services and many cable services. The whole thing, to me, has a lot of question marks. What will happen going forward? I don't know. Only time will tell. Again, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from using AT&T. I think they have great services. They have great products. And I'm not trying to second guess their motives or criticize them in any way. Every company does what they do. But as somebody who does product reviews, this is a product review. This is an editorial product review, kind of, on this podcast episode. It's part of what we do here at TTJ. What do I feel is the best offer right now if you want to replace your soon-defunct PS View service or maybe another service? Maybe you're concerned about AT&T TV Now. You don't want the box. So, you know, what do you want to do? I have a couple recommendations for you. The first one, to me, getting Philo for $20 a month, 58 channels, is an absolute no-brainer. I have said that before. In almost every episode, almost every chance I've gotten, I have promoted and given a shout-out to Philo. Tremendous channels, great popular channels, all the Discovery ones, pretty much, I think, all of them, all the Viacoms, the A&E networks, and lots more. Unlimited cloud DVR, 72-hour rewind, lots of content on demand, profiles, and believe me, they have indicated plans to eventually integrate with the Apple TV app. They have great TV Everywhere support, and they have stated that the best is yet to come. To me, Philo is a no-brainer. You can sign up for Philo right through the iTunes, well, through the app itself, through the Philo app on any Apple device with iTunes billing. But what if Philo is not enough? What if you're a sports fan? What if you want to see Rachel Maddow on MSNBC or Sean Hannity on Fox News? What if you want to watch CNN and ESPN2, all the Disney channels, and much more? Although Disney, if that's your only motivation, get Philo and Disney Plus. But what if you want to watch all these other channels too? Hulu with live TV, my friends, is my number one recommendation right now. I believe they've got the formula. Great channels, over 60 channels, $44 a month. Or is it $44.99? Whatever. 50 hours of cloud DVR, but they never expire. Just use them until they're full, then it deletes the oldest thing, keeps recording for you. Restart shows by rewinding. You have full Siri support, full Apple TV app integration. Plus, with this Hulu Live subscription, of course, you get profiles, and you indeed get the full Hulu base streaming plan as well, all included. So you get access to tons of Hulu originals, great movies and shows, and much more. You have several add-ons. The $7.99 a month entertainment add-on with additional channels like Cooking Channel, DIY, FYI, LMN, and more. You have the Unlimited Screens add-on, which takes your two simultaneous streams to as many as you want. You have the Enhanced DVR add-on, which takes you up to 200 hours and commercial skipping. And you can add on both for a discount. You can subscribe to premiums through Hulu, though I don't recommend that because I recommend using Apple TV channels, but you can do it. And it is a great, great service. Now, if you're like me and you don't care about all those live channels, I recommend just the Hulu base plan or Hulu limited commercials, their on-demand only streaming plan for just $5.99 a month. Again, to me, an absolute no-brainer. Who wouldn't give it a try? Great content. And, you know, if you're concerned about watching the national content that's on local channels, shows like Grey's Anatomy and American Idol and a whole bunch more, you can do this with a Hulu base streaming plan because they have it next day on demand. Again, fully integrated with the Apple TV app, with Siri. Works great. It's fully accessible on every Apple product. Device, Apple has made a commitment to Hulu, though, has made a commitment to accessibility. Hulu, just like Philo, by the way, they both have a phone number that you can actually call to receive support if you need it. And I think Hulu's is actually a 24/7 number, if I'm not mistaken, but don't hold me to that, I could be wrong. They do have a few sort of caveats with their what do you call that? In-home versus out-of-home streaming, but it's not quite as tricky, in my opinion, as what PS View is. So basically, if you have a living room device, so-called, Apple TV, for example, you must watch this at a designated location and cannot move it regularly. I think you can move it every so often or up to a certain number of times a year, but you cannot move it generally. And then all your other devices can go anywhere. Your mobile devices can go anywhere. Your mobile devices with Hulu Live must be... you must open the app at least once in a 30-day period inside your home on your home network. But that's really it. And then, again, the base Hulu plan does not have those restrictions. Speaking of the base Hulu plan and all this, don't forget about Disney Plus. Disney Plus is coming out in just a little over a week on November the 12th. I am super excited about it. Great content coming to that. I've learned about even more content than what I had said before. Before I shared with you, great shows like Big City Green, Scoop and Cammy Ask the World, Bunked, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, all the Marvel content, tons of Star Wars content, eventually every Disney movie ever made. Well, there's some right away at launch, of course. Tons, actually, not just some. But here are some more names. The Santa Claus movies, Hocus Pocus, Sister Act 1 and 2, Space Camp, and just a whole lot more. The content looks to be absolutely amazing. And if you want Hulu and Disney Plus, so Hulu's $5.99 a month, Disney Plus is $6.99 a month. If you get Hulu free, like I do, like we do with our carrier, then that's a different story. But if you have to already pay for both, then why not consider the package deal for $12.99, which gives you Hulu, unlimited commercials, Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. So, quite a great offering there. Now, let's talk about the other service that just went live, well, yesterday now, and that is Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus has tons of great content, original. Remember, this is all original. $4.99 a month. They're also offering a $49 a year option, 7-day free trial. And remember, if you purchase a device, iPad, iPhone, Apple TV, or iPod Touch, you get a year free of Apple TV Plus. They've got great content already in there, like C and The Morning Show, Helpsters, For All Mankind, Snoopy in Space, I think is live on there, Dickinson, and much more. So you're going to want to check this out. I have subscribed to it. We haven't watched anything from it yet, but it is ready for me to watch. It shows up as one of your Apple TV channels. It just works perfectly as you would expect. It's super easy to use, well-organized, and of course the content looks to be great. As I said, it is all originals. And for that price, you know, how can you really go wrong? So Apple TV Plus is live. We've subscribed to it. I hope you'll do the same. They do have audio description on everything. It looks to be a great, great service. In addition to all this, we have some other news to share with you that is not TV related. First of all, a reminder that there is a very good possibility that Sprint and T-Mobile might be merging. Now, this has looked more and more promising as time goes by, as they now have received approval from both the FCC and the Department of Justice. They indeed will still have to wait it out a little bit in the courts, battle it out, because there are some states that are suing to block the merger. But assuming that it happens, we'll probably see it later next year at some point. So it's not a completely done deal yet, but it's well on its way. All right. Well, iOS 13.2 and its counterparts, iPadOS, tvOS, etc., have been released to the public. With them, they brought great additional features like announced messages with Siri using the AirPods and other headphones. Features like new emoji. Also, Siri privacy enhancements and a lot more. You can download this. It's got some great bug fixes too. And works great with VoiceOver. So I encourage you to get cracking if you haven't already downloaded your update there. And finally, the HomePod has now received its update to 13.2. Actually, 13.2.1, because there were apparently some breaking issues on some HomePods when they tried to install 13.2. Not on ours, mind you, but for those who did not get to download it, they had to wait a day or two, and then 13.2.1 was released, so now there is a fully stable version that everybody can download, which means it's time for us to proceed with our smart speaker showdown that we're going to do very soon. Next episode, you will see we're going to be actually doing our smart speaker showdown. Well, two episodes away. We're going to resume our smart speaker showdown. We're going to talk about the HomePod, and we're going to talk about other speakers, not all of them smart, like the Beats Pill Plus, a fantastic portable speaker. But we are going to do a smart assistant showdown, I should say, not smart speaker, but smart assistant showdown between the big three. You know who they are, Siri, Google, and this one, if I say her name, they'll go off all over the world, but the Echo lady. So we will do that, and we will, now we're finally able to, excuse me, you know, waiting with technology is, I always say, not really very wise, because there's always going to be more and more stuff happening, but it seemed logical to wait till the HomePod was caught up with 13 to do this. So it's really at its full potential right now. And it did get a ton of new features with 13.2. So one of the most important, I think, is voice recognition. And it works flawlessly. Assuming you have already set up Hey Siri on your device. I did that on purpose. The voice profile is then used with the Home app with your HomePods to recognize you. And everybody, up to six people, can have their voices there. It knows your music preferences, your messages, your calendar events, etc., based upon your profile and your voice. And the neat thing is, even sometimes if you're asking for kind of a general request, Siri on the HomePod will now say your name as part of the conversation, which just feels really nice. So, voice recognition with profiles, very useful. Also added to the HomePod are the ambient sounds. Now, let's see if I can remember what all of these are. I think there are seven. So, there's... And I didn't remember all of them. I remembered most of them, probably six. There are seven, and they are... Ocean, forest, fireplace, white noise, stream, rain, and night. Those are the seven ambient sounds. Again, rain, stream, white noise, fireplace, forest, night, and ocean. You can simply ask Siri to play this for you, play ocean sounds, etc. And you can even just say play sounds, and she will pick a random one. They will play continuously until you ask them to stop. You can also specify in the play command now. One of the other new features in the new HomePod software is the ability to have sleep timers. So you can set the sleep timer as part of the play command like this, play ocean sounds for 30 minutes. But you can also do it after the sound starts playing, stop in 30 minutes or, you know, whatever you want to say. So there's a lot of ways to do that. So sleep timers, that's another new feature. Another great feature added to the HomePod is handoff. Oh, this is awesome. You got to make sure you're on the same Wi-Fi network and you have to have Bluetooth enabled. But if you're playing, let's say you walk into the house playing music on your iPhone and you want to keep the party going, listen to that music on your HomePod, you can simply hold your iPhone up to the top of the HomePod and the music instantly transfers to the HomePod and vice versa if you want to take the music with you. This works not only for music, but for phone calls, podcasts, and more. Another great feature that you have now on the HomePod also is music in HomeKit scenes. This is great. So, how does it work? If you're familiar, and we're going to talk about HomeKit soon, plus in our free course, next Monday is HomeKit Day, among other things, actually. But HomeKit scenes are basically a group of actions that happen at once. For example, when I'm leaving home, I might want the front door to lock, the temperature to change on the thermostat, and the lights to be turned off, etc. When I wake up in the morning and I say that it's morning time or I can schedule it, I might want a scene that includes adjusting the temperature, turning some lights on, making the coffee, what have you. Well, now you can include music in your HomeKit scenes. You can specify what HomePods they're played on, what volume level they're played at, and what is played. I already have one set up, and it works great. I have a Christmas time scene. In that Christmas time scene, I have my a couple of my Hue bulbs turning red and green. I have my Christmas tree turning on with all of its ornaments and lights. And I have my Christmas playlist shuffling. This is marvelous. It's absolutely fantastic, and it works great. I used to be able to do this with a Siri shortcut, but now I don't need to. So it's awesome. Now, praise the Lord. The other thing that we got a little bit before, but it is working great, is the live radio stations on HomePod. So again, just like your broadcast radio shows up in your various music apps on your various Apple devices, you can play live terrestrial internet-based radio, you know, that you listen to broadcast radio stations right on the HomePod. So 13.2.1 is a great update. You can get it from the Home app. Go to Home and then go to the little icon, which is the show homes or add and edit homes. And then you can choose under TVs and speakers, software update, and do it manually. Or, of course, it will happen for you automatically as well. Now, that is, as I stated, a fantastic new update. For the HomePod, all the devices are doing just a fantastic, doing fantastically. There are a couple of features for iOS and iPadOS that we're still waiting for, which Apple says will come soon. One is additional screen time enhancements, the ability to limit who your children text, for example. And this is supposed to be coming later in the fall, and iCloud Drive folder sharing is supposed to be coming in the spring. We'll be right back here on TTJ Talk. Hey, on our next episode of TTJ Talk, coming up, we sit down with John Panarese of MacForTheBlind.com. We talk with him about the services that he offers, his thoughts on macOS Catalina, and we even talk about some issues that John is very passionate about when it comes to how people sometimes criticize Apple and some of the things that people don't always realize about these various different devices and the beta testing process and so on. You know, John was a contractor for Apple for a while. Now, of course, he's very limited as to what he can talk about from those days, but he does indeed share what he can. And so it'll be great to for you to listen to the discussion, the interview with John. Again, that's coming up on the next episode of TTJ Talk, followed by our smart speaker and smart assistant, our speaker review and our smart speaker showdown. Let me get it right. For the remainder of this episode, what I'd like to talk about is this new toy that I said I was getting. We'll tell you the what, the where, and the why, and the how, and all that good stuff, and then we'll review it more in depth after we get it. So, this coming week, will be the official recipient of the iPad Pro 11-inch. Now, I have right now an iPad 6th generation 9.7-inch on which I'm recording this very podcast, as a matter of fact. It is a fantastic device. It is absolutely great. I love it. I have no complaints about it. And by the way, I applaud Apple for offering something at such a great value. Not just that it's low cost. There are lots of low cost tablets out there, but it's a low cost tablet that you actually want to own, that performs like a high cost tablet, that performs like a computer better than most computers, that really offers all the features you'd ever want in a device that you truly can use as a desktop replacement. And now with the 7th generation, even the smart connector, it is great. So then if I'm so pleased with the iPad that I have, why am I upgrading to the iPad Pro? Well, there are several things that attracted me to it. It was time for me to consider if I wanted to upgrade any of my devices. My iPhone was eligible and my iPad were eligible. I don't really have any desire to get a new iPhone this year. I love what they're doing with the iPhone 11, 11 Pro, and 11 Pro Max, and I'm sure I would not have been disappointed. But I am so happy with my 10R that I decided to focus on the iPad this year. I do, after all, use it every day as my work machine and for most of my entertainment as well. Of course, the Apple TV, certainly, but for most of the entertainment that's not, you know, not watching on there, even though, yes, I do it occasionally on the iPhone. But this was the device I chose to focus on this time around. It is going to be a huge jump for me because the iPad 6th and 7th generation, as phenomenal as they are with their A10 Fusion chips, the iPad Pro 11-inch is going to have an A12X Bionic with its neural engine, with the M12 coprocessor, with the TrueDepth camera system, all the new things that you're able to get. I'm going to have more storage. I'm going doubling from 128 to 256 gigabytes. I could have gone as high as a terabyte if I had wanted to. I'm going to have a screen size increase from the 9.7 all the way up to an 11-inch display. This is an 11-inch Liquid Retina True Tone display with ProMotion, and it is supposed to be absolutely the best. They say there's no better display out there on any tablet. Now, also on this iPad Pro is a 4-speaker wide stereo audio system. Each side has its own tweeters and subwoofer. It is supposed to be just incredible. And not only is it supposed to be, I've actually heard one, and it is incredible. The system on the iPad that I have now is no slouch. But this one on the iPad Pro will just blow it out of the water. Of course, the latest and greatest in Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, LTE, you know, for cellular, and all the other connectivity, all of the sensors that you would expect. Great camera on the rear, 12 megapixel with true, LED flash. The 7 megapixel FaceTime camera on the front, but it is also the TrueDepth camera system so that you can have Animoji and Memoji, and you guessed it, Face ID. I was going to say FaceTime. Face ID. So the iPad Pro 11-inch has done away with the home button just as the iPhones have. No more home button. Don't need it. Use the Face ID for Apple Pay, for authentication, for apps, etc. And you don't have to even worry about the home button because you got all the gestures you need. The other thing that's been removed from the iPad Pro is the headphone jack. Of course, you can get adapters. You can use Bluetooth, which really is the way to go, I think. But, And then, my friends, one other thing has been removed from the iPad Pro. the ubiquitous Lightning port. It has been removed in favor of USB-C. Now, to be clear, Lightning ports are great. There is nothing wrong with the Lightning ports. But USB-C offers some additional features that even Lightning doesn't. One of the standout ones is the ability to charge out. So you can actually charge your iPhone using your iPad. Another thing you get is some additional benefits for 4K video and so on. Now we have to talk about, well, first of all, of course, I'm getting the cellular model. I mentioned Sprint already, my carrier, so I am getting the cellular LTE model with unlimited data, so that'll be great. But I also have, of course, Wi-Fi, fantastic Wi-Fi through Comcast, praise the Lord. So it will be a great system. I'm getting the 256 gigabyte one. I currently have 128, and I still have about 60 gigs left of that, but this will give me a nice cushion with the 256. Thought about the 512 or the 1 terabyte, but just couldn't justify it with the price. Most of my storage, I use iCloud anyway, so having that extra, doubling the storage is really going to give me a nice cushion that I probably didn't even really need, but still. You can't get a 128 in the iPad Pro. It's 64, 256, and so on. Now, you know, one of the, this is a truly rounded edges, edge-to-edge display. Again, the Liquid Retina, True Tone, all these things. What we need to talk about next is accessories. Because you really do need the right combination of accessories to make your iPad what you want it to be. Well, the first accessory that we always look at is the case. And I have gone different ways over the years with the smart covers, with the Logitech Slim Folio keyboard, with Apple's own smart keyboard. And for this iPad Pro, I have elected to use the Logitech Slim Folio Pro. Now, this is in no way a negative about Apple's very own smart keyboard Folio for the iPad Pro. That's a great device. It offers the added benefit of using the smart connector. So there's no batteries, no pairing, no charging. I don't know why Logitech didn't do that with its smart Folio, Slim Folio Pro. They use USB-C, which is really not a problem. But that aside, why did I go with the Slim Folio Pro? Well, there are several factors here. The first factor is the material. Now, Apple's smart keyboard Folio is a beautiful, smooth plastic. And if it were the only thing you could choose, you would love it. And maybe either way, you would love it. But if you're really looking for a pro device, leather is what I'm looking for. And the Logitech Slim Folio Pro is a leather cover. Supposedly, the Logitech Slim Folio Pro offers a bit more rugged protection as well than does the smart keyboard Folio. Therefore, it will add a little more bulk to the iPad, but not a tremendous amount. It's got a holder for your Apple Pencil, which we're going to talk about the Apple Pencil here in a moment. Why else would I get the Slim Folio Pro? Well, it has backlit keys. So that's a nice feature. Backlit keys and a row of iOS shortcuts. Not necessary, but nice. And finally, you know, there really is the question of price point. So the Logitech Slim Folio Pro is a few dollars less. I think it comes in at $119 or $129. That's a lot of bang for your buck. So that's what I'm going to go with. No disrespect to Apple. I love everything that Apple makes. You know, I've said if Apple made a toothpaste, I would buy it. But I am going to get this Slim Folio Pro and give it a shot. The other accessory, the next accessory we want to talk about is the Apple Pencil second generation. So the Apple Pencil first generation has been the best drawing device on a tablet. It works great with extremely low latency, with palm rejection, with tilt support, and a whole lot more. And the Logitech Crayon, a great kid-friendly option, which has almost all of the same features as the Apple Pencil, main exception being the pressure sensitivity. But with Apple Pencil's second generation, things are taken to a whole new level. For starters, it just magnetically snaps onto the side of your iPad to charge and pair. It's as simple as that. And with the Logitech Slim Folio Pro, you've got a beautiful spot for it to do just that. But in addition, the Apple Pencil second generation, designed exclusively for the iPad Pro, has a touch surface on it that you can double tap. Now in Notes, double tapping will quickly change you from your drawing and writing tool to your eraser. And what it does in other apps will be customized by the app. So this is a fantastic option for the new iPad Pro. The third and final accessory that I'd like to talk about right now is the USB-C digital AV multi-port adapter. Connect this to your iPad via USB-C, and you get three ports going out of it. You get an HDMI port, you get a standard USB port, and you get another USB-C port so that you can either use the use an additional USB-C accessory, or, of course, probably more often, so that you can charge your iPad. I really like this. One adapter, multiple purposes. Really, that's probably the only adapter I'll ever need. I have two right now. I have an HDMI to Lightning, and then I have a USB to Lightning. I also have a Lightning SD card reader. Now, I don't know whether or not there's a USB-C card reader. There probably is. I didn't bother with that right now because I'm also sort of very preliminarily looking into hubs. With USB-C, there are hubs that have like a whole bunch of stuff, like headphone jack, HDMI, USB 3, micro USB, another USB-C, SD card, or micro SD, not micro USB, micro SD and an SD card. So all kinds of different options with these hubs. I may possibly get one of those at some point. We shall see. But what I can tell you is that this USB-C digital multi-port adapter made a lot of sense for right now. And you can use that with a MacBook as well as with a with an iPad. So those are the accessories for the time being. We will have this next week, and I will review it. I may do an unboxing. I don't know. I always say I'm going to, but then I always get so excited that I just rip into it and I don't wait to set it up. So we'll see. But what I can tell you is we'll review it either way. And the final thing I want to share with you today is that Apple also released, I'm not getting these, I just got my AirPods second generation and I love them, but Apple has also now released its AirPods Pro. Very much like the Beats Pro, I suppose. They have even longer than the normal charge time that you're used to. They have noise cancellation. So they come with three different sizes of tips. You can use the ones that fit your ear the best. They, in the control center, have options for noise cancellation versus their the other mode that allows the transparent mode where you don't have the noise canceling. So AirPods Pro are now available from Apple. They look to be a phenomenal product. High dynamic range sound, great enhanced audio, you know, and a touch surface for different quick actions, plus all the support for everything else you already know and love from your AirPods. What is that now? The H1 chip? Something like that. So they're paired right away with all of your devices. You know, nobody can boast that. I don't know. You know, the switching is seamless with the AirPods. You know, you tap in, like, go into control center and tap on your AirPods, and within a couple seconds, you're using them. It. Some people are asking for this automatic switching. I don't want that. If that were available, I would disable it. You know, if they want to add it, whatever, people want that. But I would disable it. Because if my iPhone suddenly started talking while I was listening to music on my iPad, I wouldn't want my music to be interrupted so that I could hear the iPhone speech. I can't wrap my mind around why people would want that, but you know, it takes all kinds in the world, and I respect everybody's opinion, and they can want what they want. What a lot of people that are, you know, talking about the AirPods and its siblings are the only headphone to instantly pair with all of your Apple devices. You open up the case and it pairs. And when it pairs, it's not only paired with your iPhone, but it's paired with your iPad, with your Apple TV, with all of the devices that you own, even your Apple Watch. This is really, really unsurpassed. So it's a great device. So we're going to be back in touch here soon. We're going to be back with our next podcast. We'll feature John, our interview with John Panarese, so that we can talk to him again from Mac for the Blind. We'll do an iPad review, but also, of course, we'll get started with our Smart Assistant Showdown. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in today on TTJ Talk. Don't forget to visit us on the web at ttjtech.net. Subscribe to our blog. Follow us on Twitter at TalkTTJ, Periscope TTJ Talk. And on Dabble now at MSPACELIFE. God bless you, folks. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time on TTJ Talk.